Hey friends, welcome back. You're listening to Healing Starts with the Heart, the show where it's all about you, the woman, and your broken heart. We work with sisters who have a broken heart. Any girlfriend of ours, anybody out there that has experienced a loss of any kind, we're here for you. My name is Sharon Brubaker, and this is my sister, Erica Honore.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for coming back for another amazing episode of our podcast. I have been saying in the past couple of recordings that we are doing homemade, and unfortunately, I live in the sticks and I have bad internet, so you may hear that come across in our recording, but just know that we're trying to rectify that as much as possible so that you can get the full weight and the full message of the podcast and the recording. So welcome.
I know, right? We're doing everything we can. We even jumped on our phones this time because we have such a deep message that we know will change the lives of so many. Erica, today's show is kind of deep though.
Today's show is deep. It is, it's heavy.
Well, grief is deep.
Yeah. Yeah. We say that as though we don't talk about very deep topics on a regular basis. Yeah.
We're like, this one's really bad, guys. No, this one's really bad. Basically, grief sucks and it's all really bad. But here's the thing that we know. We didn't have anybody to guide us when we were first going through it. And so we figured out our own path and we made so many mistakes until we met an amazing guide and she helped us through. And now we teach that same process to all the women that are out there broken.
The other thing is by working with so many amazing clients along the way, we also are exposed to their journey and their experiences. So we have that to tap into as well because everyone's journey is different. Grief is unique and individual to every single person. So we're just adding to our rule book, not rule book, because there are no rules. Every day is different, but we're just adding to our experience journal, I should say, to put things out there so that hopefully someone who's listening, who needs these words, will connect with it and know that they're not alone.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I feel like every time we get on the podcast, we're always explaining, well, we're doing this because of this, but there's so much to explain. And the other thing is, remember in the beginning stages, you and I couldn't even articulate what it was. We couldn't put words to this is this, this feels like this. Like you're just so broken, you don't even know what to call it.
That's it completely. You are just utterly broken. It feels like crap. You want to cry, but then you get sick of crying. You want to scream, but then you think people will think you're crazy. You want to like really break things and tear things up because you're just hurting. You're just hurting and you want it to stop.
And one of the things that we hear so many times over and over again from our clients, from the women, and even from men that we've worked with, we hear, I feel like I want to die. I just want to die. I want to go be with him. I want to go be with her. My heart is broken. I can't imagine living here anymore. It's not that paragraph. We hear these sentences over and over again. And our response is always the same, right?
Yeah. And I felt those feelings. And so it's, I know. And that's okay. I know you feel like you want to die. It's normal. Because I think part of the reason people don't express it is that they're scared people will deem them suicidal. But the reality is you're hurting so bad. You miss your loved ones so much. You would give anything to be with them and to feel them near you, to feel the comfort of knowing that you're reunited, to feel the love that you have. We're still here. We still have all the love in our hearts for them. We have no place to put it anymore. So that love, the weight of that love and becomes sadness and desperation and despair. And of course you feel like you want to die.
I think it surprises people. I think that feeling of I just want to die, or them actually thinking I don't want to be here, and it just comes up as such a surprise. Last year, we had a client whose son, a 17-year-old, died by suicide. And she made an appointment with us, and she was adamant that she had to see us that day. And she came into our office, and she sat down, and all she said was, I want to die. I feel like I just want to die. I don't want to be here anymore. And she looked at us and said, is this normal? And that was the only question she wanted the answer to. And Eric and I were able to gently walk her through and let her know that this is a normal reaction to a loss, is a feeling that you don't want to be here anymore. And then, of course, we asked the next question, which is, have you made a plan? Are you planning suicide? And she let us know that she wasn't, but she was so shocked by that. To be honest with you guys, honest with you sisters, she never even took our program. She just needed the answer to that question, and she needed it that night.
I think it's very shocking to people if it's your first grieving experience, how dark it can get. And yeah. I think they're so thrown off by that, because the message that is out there for grievers is you're going to go through these five stages. You're going to, once you get to the fifth stage, you come to acceptance, and you're going to move on about your life and skip down your happily married lane. Well, that's bogus.
Yeah.
That is bogus. And it's not true. The five stages are not for grievers. That's another podcast. We already did it. So please go back and listen if you have it. But what happens is you may go through stages, not those that are outlined in that. You may go through stages of this, that, this, and that in an hour. And then you circle back, and then you make a left, and then you make a right, and you go down again. And you do that all day, every day, but not in the same order. It's different all the time. So you don't know that there's no guidebook for grief. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. There are no rules. It is miserable. It sucks. And unless someone in your inner circle of close friends has experienced any type of loss, you can feel very alone and very isolated with how bad it can feel.
100%, 1,000,000%. Here's the other thing, is that you have to be open about where you're feeling and where you're at. I think what happens, Erica, this is what I think. People like this young woman are embarrassed to tell somebody that that's how they feel, or the reaction from the other person when they tell them is when they can't, is why they don't feel safe telling it. Because the other person overreacts and calls 911 and does all this stuff, which if you feel that they're actually going to act on it, by all means, please call 911. I'm not saying don't call 911. But we need to have the safe space to be able to say, I feel like I want to die. I'm thinking I don't want to be here anymore. I work with beautiful women all the time, we both do, that are suffering from the loss of their mom or their dad. And they tell us all the time, I can't live without them. I can't see my life going on without them in it. Here's what I want to tell you. You've got to find your reasons for living. And sometimes it's your husband in the other room. It's your children sitting right there, the children that have been left here. And even with that, you're still going to have these feelings appear. But you got to find your reason why.
That is so true. That is so very, very
true. Girl. Not sure what happened there. Looks like she got cut off.
I'm sorry. I'm back.
What the hell?
Oh. I'll explain later. That is so true. And like you and I have talked about so many times, the people that we are sharing our emotions with when we're broken want to fix us. For us to say that we want to die, automatically they're going to jump into fixing mode and try to talk us out of that emotion. But what we are saying here today is that emotion is normal. But even I have the experience, Sharon, I don't recall, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I ever said that to you when I was feeling it. When I first communicated that to you was when we recorded, I think, the very first episode of the podcast. And I felt like I needed to speak my truth, to say it for others who were out there who might be feeling the same thing, and to let them know that it was okay and that it was normal. I don't think when you and I had the conversations about how bad it was after Donovan died, I ever said it. Did I?
No, because you were hiding from me how bad you
were.
I think you knew that I would pick up on it and that I would fly into action because of it.
Yeah.
But I think that because it surprises people and they don't know what's going to happen, they don't know what to do with it either.
True, because it's a scary feeling. I have never contemplated suicide, even when I lost Donovan and how bad and how dark it was. Me saying I wanted to die or I was okay if I didn't wake up the next day was not anything related to suicide. It was just speaking to the gravity of the brokenness in my heart. The knife was stabbed clear through my soul. Like it came out on the other side. I was impaled by sadness and I didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't think anyone would understand how bad it was. This wasn't my first experience losing a child. This was my second. And I did not think I was going to survive it. So it was heavy. And it was debilitating.
And most times we haven't actively created a plan. We just know that living here and trying to even take one more breath and get up today is just so unbearable. It's just so unbearable. So I think more than anything, we want to get across that we know that you have these feelings. Many people will have these feelings. It's perfectly okay to have these feelings. Find someone that you feel safe to talk to and share the feelings to. But if you are on the other end of the conversation and someone is coming up to you and saying, I feel like I want to die, don't freak out. Ask them a couple of questions. Number one, first acknowledge that you heard them. So you feel that you want to die. Acknowledge that you heard them by placing your hand over your heart and say, tell them, my heart is breaking for you. I can't imagine what this must be like for you right now. Very important question. Have you made a plan? Are you making a plan to kill yourself? Have you made a plan? How are you going to do that? And ask them, you made a plan? What is your plan? Ask them what your plan is. Many times we know the person that's planning the suicide, if they have made a plan, want someone else to get in and at least be open to have that conversation. We know for a fact, if you're openly having that conversation, you could turn them around. Two, make an agreement with them. You make an agreement with me and I make an agreement with you that you are not going to do it. Make an agreement. Make them agree that they're not going to do it. Four, call for help. And then call for help. So if you know someone is actively making a plan, you need to call for help.
That is so true. I don't think a lot of people know that. And I think that just hearing those words out of someone else's mouth is so off-putting that you get like riled up and you don't know what to do. So I'm glad you laid out those steps. So now they can hopefully commit that to memory so that if they ever find themselves in that situation, they'll know what to do. They'll be calm. And they can have a real heart-to-heart conversation with the person who's hurting and let them know they're not alone. Because that is one of the things I think that really drives people to take that final step. It's just feeling like they're all alone and they don't have anyone. So please try and make the connection so that they know you are truly there for them and that they're not by themselves. They're not in this broken place alone with no one to listen to them.
Exactly. And the other thing is that typically, most times we find if we ask them if they've made a plan and they haven't actively made a plan, they're just describing you how to trying to describe to you how bad they feel. So listen to them and ask them, what does it feel like? Where are you feeling it? Where are you feeling it in your body? What color is it? Is it slow? Is it fast? What is it about? What part do you miss today? What does it taste like? Ask them questions and get them to describe it to you, because chances are they're just dying to talk and be listened to and heard with utter respect. Friends, we're going to attach the National Society Grief, Suicide Hotline today to our show. It's also on our website at Healing Starts with the Heart. Thank you so, so much. And know that if you are out there and you feel like you cannot go one more day, we are great listeners and we'd love to sit and talk with you.
And also, if you just are feeling the weight of your broken heart and the weight of the void of the loss of your loved one is causing, it's normal. It's normal to say that you feel like you want to die. We know that not everyone is saying that they're going to take another step. It's just that it feels heavy and that you don't think people understand. So we want you to know that we've been there. We totally understand. And if you ever want to just talk about that, our website is www.healingstartswiththeheart.com. We have blogs there where we've written about this. We have our phone numbers there where you can reach out to us. We also have our email address there if you just want to send us an email. You're not alone in this. That's the purpose of this podcast, to put these topics out there so our sisters and our friends know you're not alone. We've been there and we can help you get through this. So please reach out to us, friends. Thank you for joining us today.
Bye.